Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Commons, where we have conversations about school life and leadership. I'm your host, Brian Phillips. Glad you're tuning in. Now, this will be a shorter episode where I'm going to focus in on one of my favorite books, one of my favorite writings, The Meditations of Marcus Aurelius. I've had people ask me, you know, are there certain books that you find yourself coming back to over and over and over again that you keep as a ready at hand reference, if you will. And I do have a few. One of them is The Meditations of Marcus Aurelius. Now, some people are somewhat surprised by that, and a lot of people are unfamiliar with that work and unfamiliar with Marcus Aurelius himself. He was called the last good emperor. I think that's fair. And when we use the term good, Marcus was not a Christian, and in fact, persecuted Christians. And that's kind of a long story that I won't go into on this particular podcast. But he was one of the best representatives of the Stoic philosophy. And I think perhaps for that reason, people who do know a little bit about him perhaps have avoided his writings. Some avoid him because he's not a Christian or because he persecuted Christians, and others because they assume that since he was a Stoic, that his writings are going to be intensely philosophical. They're not really. In fact, I found Aurelius to be extremely accessible and really thought-provoking. See Scott Hicks and David Hicks, brothers. David Hicks, of course, author of Norms and Nobility, a great friend to the Searcy Institute. And if you are familiar with any of the work we do here at Searcy, you know that we rely really heavily on Norms and Nobility and the work of David Hicks. But anyway, David Hicks and his brother, C. Scott Hicks, did a translation of the Meditations of Marcus Aurelius, and they titled it The Emperor's Handbook. It is, in my opinion anyway, hands down, the best edition available. So if you are interested in reading the writings of Marcus Aurelius, get the Emperor's Handbook. But in the introduction to their edition, they wrote this: "It is fine for scholars to study Marcus, but it's natural for captains of industry and armies to carry him in their briefcases. For this was a man of action, not merely of words, and the few words he wrote to himself were meant to incite action, not dissertations." End quote. In other words, when Marcus Aurelius wrote his Meditations, it was really more like a journal, thoughts that he wanted to remember himself, things that he needed to keep in the forefront of his mind as he fulfilled the duty that he was given. Marcus never really wanted, or it seems expected, to be emperor, but he was, and he wanted to rule well. And so those of us in leadership positions, whether you are a headmaster, a school board member, a teacher, and you're looking for principles and how to govern your classroom, or you're a homeschooling parent and you're trying to figure out how to manage the weight of that responsibility, or you're in some other leadership position in life, Marcus Aurelius has some really good things to say. I think a good equivalent, or at least one that I make carefully, is that when you read Marcus Aurelius, you feel almost like you're reading a kind of Proverbs, similar to the book of Proverbs, in that there are often short sections that are just simply thoughts, wise words that need to be remembered, and you can go from one thought to a completely different one in the next section, so they're not always connected. At the beginning of book two, section one, in the Meditations of Marcus Aurelius, He says, first thing every morning, tell yourself, today, I'm going to meet a busybody, an ingrate, a bully, a liar, a schemer, and a bore. Ignorance of good and evil has made them what they are. But I know that the good is by nature beautiful and the bad ugly. And I know that these wrongdoers are by nature my brothers, not by blood or breeding, but by being similarly endowed with reason and sharing in the divine. Now, there's part of me that reads that and I think, wow, that's a terrible way to begin the day, isn't it? You wake up and tell yourself, I'm going to meet all of these awful, annoying, troublesome people, a busybody, an ingrate, a bully, a liar, a schemer, a bore. That doesn't seem like a nice way to wake up. But Marcus is not necessarily calling us to wake up as a pessimist. He is trying to get us to set our expectations in the right order. So notice that he says, again, first thing every morning, tell yourself, remind yourself that you're going to have interactions that are quite difficult. You're going to have interactions that that could potentially trip you up and make your day really rough. But if you prepare yourself for it mentally, then that can be a big help. Right? If you know something is coming, it gives you the opportunity to prepare for it. And so as the emperor, he knew he was going to meet people like this every single day. He couldn't be surprised by it. Now, if you're a headmaster, you know that you're going to have very likely difficult conversations, different meetings, if not every day, then very often, every week, multiple times a week. Some days you're going to have them all day long, right? Teachers, the same is true for you. Whether it's a difficult interaction with a parent, whether it's difficulty with a student, it could even be difficulty with another faculty member or headmaster or someone else in the school community. Homeschooling parents, you know that this can be the dynamic within your own homeschool, right? You meet busybodies, ingrates, bullies, liars, schemers, and bores. And so as educators, we need to be prepared for this, whatever station we're in. Be prepared and don't be surprised by the difficult interactions. And notice what he follows up with that. It's not just realize that today you're going to have the potential for difficult meetings or dealing with difficult people. He doesn't stop there. If he did stop there, then perhaps this would be a very pessimistic way of approaching every day. But he says, but I know that ignorance of good and evil has made them what they are. Now, this is a topic, a line that certainly could be argued back and forth. Is it really ignorance of good and evil that makes us do good and evil? There's certainly a lot to say there and a lot to discuss. But there is an important part of this that I think we can agree with. If we truly understood, if we truly fully comprehended, had a kind of poetic knowledge of good and evil, if we saw evil for the evil that it is, if we saw good for the beauty and goodness that it is, for what it is truly, then we would do it and we would shun the evil. But unfortunately, in our fallen sense, we don't always see that. And so there is a way, of course, that as Christians, we have a different informed understanding of what Marcus means here. But he goes on and says, but I know that the good is by nature beautiful and the bad ugly. And I know that these wrongdoers are by nature my brothers, not by blood or breeding, but by being similarly endowed with reason and sharing in the divine. And so he had some understanding, even though as a pagan, he would not have expressed it in the way that we would as Christians. He had an understanding that even though these people that he met were difficult, whether they were busybodies, you know, always involved in someone else's affairs, an ingrate, that is someone who's just refuses to be thankful, a complainer, a whiner, always demanding more, a bully, always demanding their own way, right? A liar, a schemer, a bore, that is someone who's ill-mannered. Regardless of their behavior, Marcus still had an understanding that no matter how outrageous or aggravating they were, he still had a responsibility to them as a human being, right? And I think this is a very important truth that we need to remember, and we can so easily forget. We forget that those people who push our buttons and drive us crazy at times are made in the image of God. And even though he says the people he's talking about are not by nature his brothers, they are by nature his brothers, not by blood or breeding. In your case, they might be your brothers by blood and breeding. We still have a responsibility to them. He goes on and ends this section saying, "None of them can harm me, for none can force me to do wrong against my will. And I cannot be angry with a brother or resent him, for we were born into this world to work together like the feet, the hands, eyelids, and upper and lower rows of teeth." This using that body image, right? Similar to what the Apostle Paul uses in the New Testament. To work against one another is contrary to nature. And what could be more like working against someone than resenting or abandoning him? And so, as you face each day, keep these words in mind. When you face each day, be prepared. Go into it with your eyes wide open. Yes, I might run into great difficulty in my classroom today, or in my school today, or in my homeschool today. I might have difficulty with the people that I encounter. Don't be surprised by that. It's going to happen, because you know what? There are going to be mornings that those people wake up and their difficult encounter is with you. So it all comes back to what Jesus taught us, right? To fulfill the law and the prophets is to love the Lord your God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Just as we would want grace and understanding in the difficult encounters we cause, because we all do it, let us pray that the Lord will give us grace in the difficult encounters that we face with others. So take heart, remember this, pray that the Lord will give you peace in the encounters that you have and give you wisdom and cause you to remember the value of all the people that he has put into your care, whether it's your own children or your students or your school community at large. Well, take these words to heart. And until next time, I'm your host, Brian Phillips, signing off on the Commons. God bless and Godspeed.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.